Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Thanks to the problem-oriented approach that's dominated Western thinking since the end of World War II, when most of us think about bacteria, we think about disease. We don't think about bacteria as being a normal part of our body. I was thinking about that when I read an article in Scientific American about increased studies of normal bacterial populations. We all have them, and this latest study took a new approach and compared the behavioral effects of bacteria, something that's often overlooked. It compared the number of genes carried by the bacteria in our body with a number of our own. And it turns out we all normally carry around a heck of a lot more bacterial genes than our own. This says to me, and to some researchers, that we ought to make friends with the little critters. We ought to care more about them. We shouldn't see them as disease-causing because obviously we depend on them for our very existence, and so do animals. In this study, they took mice and they raised some of them free of bacteria in their guts and the others normally. What they discovered was that the ones who didn't have the bacteria were a lot bolder. They spent more time out in the light and running around. And it was interesting to me when I read that because at first I thought, wow, isn't that good? I mean, isn't that what we all want to be, is outgoing and out in the light, moving around? And well, jeepers, maybe if you have, like, you know, kids or animals who seem sort of shy and anxious, maybe what we ought to do is just clean out all their intestinal bacteria and then they'll be right out there in the sunlight, doing all kinds of things. And then I said, whoa, Myrn, you're sounding like a drug ad. Think about it. All of that bacteria that contributes so much DNA, so many genes to the workings of the mammalian body, it's got to be there for a reason. Why would those bacteria affect the brain in such a way that the mice would be more cautious, less risk-taking? And then I had one of those, what other people call light bulb moments, but for me, I tend to think of as duh moments. Of course the bacteria want the animal to be more cautious, not to be foolhardy, not to be out there making a spectacle of him or herself, for the simple reason that the bacteria wants the little mouse to survive. The bacteria wants the mouse to survive and successfully reproduce because the bacteria is dependent on the mouse for its own survival. And so the best way for a bacteria to take care of itself is to take care of its host. So often in our problem-oriented society, we forget that. We look at microorganisms of any kind in our body and we immediately think, yuck, 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 they're taking my stuff. They're eating my food. They're messing around with my organs. I want them out of there. I want to be clean. I want to be sterile. In fact, were we to do that, that's exactly what we might be. But in the meantime, I suggest that we should all make peace with our enemies, if that's the way we view the normal population of microorganisms inside our body, because there are a lot more of them than us. Their shorter lifespans and their ability to adapt faster than us just might be the source of our own salvation.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmalani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.